It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Eat right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We talked quite a bit about which Rocket might make the All-Star game. Well, Kate Cunningham, who has maybe you want to call it a friendly rivalry, a not-so-friendly rivalry with Jalen Green, he is going to make the All-Star game. The Pistons, I wouldn't say all of a sudden, they've been bad for a while, but they're competitive now. They got a real shot to at least make the play-in and maybe even be a top six seed. Now Pacers and Pistons games matter again in the way that any local rivalry might matter. I mean, as far as rivalries go, they have a history. It doesn't matter in general, but as far as those two teams are concerned, they have a history, and they don't like each other that much. And yesterday, something very funny happened at the end of that game. The Pacers went into Detroit and won, and noted, I ain't afraid of anyone type guy. Isaiah Stewart was involved. Siakam was talking late as the clock was running out, and then after the game, all the players converged. And at some point in the conversation, Isaiah Stewart said to Texas X and legend Miles Turner, "Don't you play Legos? Don't you?" Because Miles Turner has admitted that he builds Lego sets. And Isaiah Stewart, because everyone is on the internet and remembers everything, says, "I know you're not talking. You play Legos." And someone was able to read his lips. I was like, oh, wow. I would just walk away. If I'm Miles Turner, he didn't, credit to him for continuing to talk, but if someone drops that on me, okay, you got it.
I was going to say, these are the two teams that were involved in the Malice at the Palace.
Yeah, and this is where we are now.
Now we're at, this guy has a Lego set to build. Get out of here. No, I mean, credit to the Pistons for, I think they're above 500, at 500 at the very least. At this point in the season, they're way better than the Philadelphia 76ers somehow. And yeah, they have at least one guy on their team that looks to be a star in Cade Cunningham, and they have another guy on their team that doesn't take bleep off anybody in Isaiah Stewart. And that's a good start, I would say, for a young team.
They aren't at the level of the Rockets as far as talent acquisition. I mean, you can just go by the two twins. Amen is really, really good. Asar, apologies, is still trying to find his way and trying to get consistent NBA minutes. Jaden Ivey got hurt earlier.
Yeah.
Was it late December, early January? So he's going to be out for a while. But they're building too, just not at the level of the Rockets. Surprisingly, Tobias Harris and Tim Hardaway Jr. aren't the level of impact that Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks have been. That's not the only reason, but there have been a level of acquisitions with their veterans that ain't the same.
No.
Although, the first year of Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks, they were just out of the play-in. So the Pistons, first year Tobias. And
They're
kind of right on the Rockets' path just a year behind. So we'll see what the Pistons do. But don't you play with Legos.
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one to fight. But, hey, Miles Turner has accepted his fate. And if you're going to admit to the world you play Legos, you got to take that.
He shows them off on social media, so obviously he's cool with that.
How do you feel as a Texas guy that your man says, I play with Legos?
Not great for the brand, I'd say, between Miles Turner and Jared Allen, having those two guys within like 2 years of each other. You know, a little different than P.J. Tucker, I'd say.
Yeah, that's true.
A little different from you know, the real hoopers I grew up watching.
I mean, Kevin Durant is petty online, but he's Kevin Durant, so yeah. You're going to take that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Booby Gibson was cool.
Yeah.
Booby Gibson has not played with Legos a day in his life as an adult.
Certainly wouldn't admit to it.
Yeah. You know,
DJ Augenstein.
Solid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You've got some dudes.
Oh, yeah. They got, I guess he's retired now. LaMarcus Aldridge was awesome for a while.
None of those former Texas big men.
No. Let me name all the Texas big men that don't play with Legos.
Chris Mim, does he play with Legos?
Nah, that one's on the fence. I don't know. Let me check his Instagram.
Maybe Chris Mim plays with Legos.
Jackson Hayes definitely doesn't. Mo Bamba doesn't, I assume.
Well, you never know. I think there's a group chat building Star Wars replicas with all the former Texas big men.
With the Texas big man. How are we all still in the league? Are we all lottery picks and still in the league?
But to be fair to Miles Turner, at least Isaiah Stewart didn't want to chase him down and kill him like he wanted to do LeBron.
Yeah. No,
if it comes out to don't you play with Legos, I'll take that over an entire security staff holding him back from trying to murder me. Like he was, and he was doing that to LeBron, who you think is untouchable in the league.
Who you think that, like, no matter how much you're seeing red, just as like someone who grew up watching and playing basketball, that no matter how angry you are, at a certain point you're like, I'm not going to beat up LeBron, am I? Am I really going to try to beat up LeBron? I'm not talking about physical intimidation, just like, I'm going to beat up the best basketball player of my lifetime? All right.
Is my legacy going to be the guy who snuffed LeBron? It's not a bad legacy.
No, ask Chris Childs.
Yeah, he will get credit for two-piecing Kobe.
Forever. The reason I know his name is because of that clip.
Yeah, true. And Isaiah Stewart, even though he didn't get to LeBron, he will be remembered for trying to murder LeBron on the court.
Yeah, because he looked like Danielle Hunter coming off the edge. That's what he looked like. Every security guard in Little Caesars Arena was trying to be like Joe Alt and keep him off the quarterback.
They were better at it than Joe Alt was.
Yeah. With the Texans. Yeah, LeBron's still with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Isaiah Stewart was willing to put him in the ground, at least in that moment after seeing blood. So there it is. That was a moment in the NBA last night. I'm trying to think of anything else that happened beyond
the robbery in Sacramento.
No. Yeah, besides that, the Thunder smacked the Cavs around. Yeah. After losing the first game in Cleveland, the Thunder, okay, we see what you got.
I know that there's like, 2 weeks of a gap between, maybe only a week of a gap, but that felt like a game 2, game 3 of a 7-game series where one team wins the home game close at home, and then you go back to the other one, and it's like, we are definitely not going down 3-0 against these guys, so we are blowing them out. And that's kind of the feel it got, where it's like, OKC was like, we are not losing to these guys.
We're going to punish you. Yeah. No matter what you think and what narratives you could pull from the game we played, we're going to change whatever you think. We're going to destroy them. And someone tweeted, like, no matter what, OKC does not F around. They're one of the teams this year who takes everything as a challenge.
Yeah.
They don't win all of them. They win most of them, clearly. Yeah. And last night was about whether the Cavs are the best team in the East, or maybe that's the Celtics, but they certainly have this, they're certainly number one in the standings. So we're going to prove that we can punish them. They did that. It was comprehensive. I think the Cavs ended the first quarter with 14 points. So it was defensively, offensively, they just got dominated. And Thunder, they're that team. Hopefully the Rockets will get there. The timelines are certainly different, but the Thunder were a pseudo play-in team a couple years ago. And they've accelerated their rise to being a contender, and they've done it this year without Chet Holmgren.
And you know, even look like last year, they're the one seed that lost in the second round. And you know, if we think about what is likely for the Rockets, it's likely that they are maybe not the one seed, but they're going to be a home court playoff team. It looks like, and I don't think any of us would pick them to make the West Final. So they really are a very, very close to on the same track of OKC, just a year behind. Like we're talking about the Pistons being a year behind the Rockets. And I think some of that just has to go with like OKC before they started drafting guys. They started with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on their team. So they started with a level of superstar that the Rockets are still looking to develop. And I think that's the biggest difference between these two, honestly, is just the the Shea piece. Then the Rockets have a Jalen Williams. They have a Chet Holmgren. They just don't have a Shea. Yeah, and that's the difference.
Yeah, we talked about that. Jalen Green this month has played like the Shea piece.
Yeah.
And
you see they're what?
You see how good they've been?
What, 6-2?
Yeah. So, of course, if you get that from him night to night consistently, or just getting Shea performances night to night, then you would see the Rockets certainly rise to that level. And even as it is, they're a 2 seed. So that was the night in the NBA. And, of course, we've got NFL all weekend long. I guess the big thing tonight is, in the NBA before we go to break, is beyond some of the matchups, what's going down in Miami? Is Jimmy Butler going to play? Is he going to start? Is he going to get booed? So if Orlando and Boston's a good one on ESPN, I think Franz might even be back. Franz Wagner might be back. But if you're looking for the nonsense, and if you have one of the streaming sites that allow for you to watch games out of market, or maybe you're a reasonable, respectful adult and pay for NBA. What's it? Season?
League Pass.
League Pass. See, clearly I'm not the second guy because I don't pay for it. I don't even know the name. I'm the one who finds games in a less than legal way, I would say.
Shame.
I know. Bad. Bad on me. I was just tune in. First, look at the announcement to see if Jimmy Butler's going to start. And then see what he does back from a 7-game suspension since the Heat can't trade him. Just an alternative to a typical NBA night. Should be must-see TV.
You know what? You sold me. I just put on the alert on the ESPN app to tell me when the game starts.
Yeah, and it's the Nuggets. I don't know if Jokic is going to play, but the Nuggets are good. The Heat are average, and we'll see what goes down. Whether they start him or he gets booed, there's a lot to look into beyond what probably won't be that entertaining of a game.
Jokic, game-time decision right now.
He has, like, elbow inflammation or something like that. That's why he missed the Rockets game. Okay, we will get the break here. And then we'll be joined by Michael Carroll around 11:30 or a little bit afterwards as we head to 12 o'clock and Gallant and George. Is it just you and Joe? I mean,
no.
You and Paul?
All hands on deck.
Okay. Joe wasn't here yesterday. He'll be back today. Okay. We will get to break here. But before I do that, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. That's the place you go to if you got a plumbing issue. It's getting colder. It's already cold for us. It's going to get cold for anybody next week. And cold weather, particularly drastic drops in temperature, can mess with your pipes. You leave the house and your pipes are fine. You come home and turn the water on and maybe the water doesn't turn on, or all of a sudden you've got a leak. That's scary. You know you can't handle it, but the people who can are the people at Aqueduct Plumbing. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com to check it all out. All the services they provide, they have got this handy tab that tells you what they do, from leak detection to reroutes. Maybe you need a big job like gas piping, it's all there for you. Maybe you've got an issue with your water heater. They do that too. You can call them at 281-488-6238 to check them out. And of course, the big thing, at least for me, would be the free price quote. I don't know what's going on in the home. I just know there's a problem. But I need someone to tell me what it is before I make a decision. I don't want to pay for that. I don't want to pay to be told what the problem is. I'll pay you to fix it. And Aqueduct Plumbing Company understands that. They are the premier repiping company as well. So check out the services at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
And action.
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Michael Carroll is here with us, not only the voice of this show, but the host of Comicast.
Yes.
Where you can find anywhere you listen to podcasts. And he does that with John Lee.
I do.
So right now, they're on issue 576 that released on Tuesday about the Flash and a lot of things regarding the Flash itself. Well, the movie itself, not necessarily the character.
Yeah, because of the director's comments about why that movie struggled. And it was not the quality of the movie. It was the lack of interest in the character, because according to him, no one knows that character.
I mean, we can ignore the fact that it had a long-running TV show on CW.
Yeah. or ignore the fact that it's been a character that's been around since 1940.
No one knows it, though.
No one knows it. No one knows it, especially women, apparently. It's all women's fault, according to Andy Muschietti.
I mean, no, I forgot what show I'm on. The earlier show where I had the cover. Hey, John and Lance are talking about it. I would have done it, but I don't have that type of cover.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, hey, you can't say that, when I'm thinking, yeah, it's pretty funny. Can't do that here. If I say something, it falls on me this time.
Yes, that's true.
Part of the problem or responsibility of having your name on the show. But you can find all that on Comicast, the latest issue. And also, you guys talk about Skeleton Crew, Creature Commandos, which is on Max, Pantheon On Call, which is the show on Prime we've talked about, and American Primeval, which I finished on on Netflix. I finished it
yesterday. What'd you think of it?
You know, I got caught up because of its historical references that I thought it would have more of like a true to reality ending. And then I realized it's just a TV show set around that time. So how things played out, where I can't give it away, where of course the lead character, the guy who's had all this loss in his life and he doesn't want to be around people, his heart melts, that type of stuff. I should have expected it, and the ending as well. So I didn't particularly like how they landed the plane, I guess.
I don't like the ending of it.
No.
I think it's a show that starts off strong.
Yeah.
And then as you get more and more with the two stories, the one story just kind of ends. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of weird. Oh, we're just okay, I guess that's it. And then the other one kind of ends in a cliche type way where like you can kind of see it's coming. And I don't know. I didn't love how they landed the plane on that one. I think there was other ways you could do that ending to reach a more satisfying conclusion. It's still a okay show, but it's not like going to be my favorite by the end of it.
Yeah, you know, it was a very like both storyline endings were very, and it's funny to say that considering it's very Hollywoodish. We're going to have this dramatic ending that feels divorced from reality, like the choices made to get to, particularly the storyline involving the man trying to find his wife, and her decisions and what happens at the end seemed okay. All right, you're playing in my face right now, Peter Berg. cut it out. So it's fine. Particularly, let's go one through four. Those episodes, I would say, pretty good television.
Yeah,
how they wrapped it up, take it or leave it.
That's honestly where it kind of falls apart. And five and six, it kind of just all. The way they try and tie stories in, the guy looking for his wife, that guy, I just felt like that was just a waste of time at the end of the day.
Like the wife's story, because you could tell from the beginning she was a little different than who she was hanging out with. That was more interesting to me than most of what was going on, but just the way her decision at the very end and then what he did and how they came together at the very end. Okay, whatever. Sure. That would happen. Thanks for that. I mean, it ain't Peter Berg. A lot of people would know him from Friday Night Lights. I believe your fictional, the team rallies from 30 down to in the fourth quarter to win the high school state title more than I believe what happened here.
Yeah,
that's what I would say about the ending of that story.
I would agree. He very much Hollywood-ified that ending. And again, where it's a story that it takes real events and adapts them, because that first episode is about a real massacre that happened in 1857, I believe. You know, obviously they dramatize it in different ways where certain people survive and all this and that. But like that and just the different aspects of the setting, I thought was good. And then, it's a show that I know it's like number one on Netflix. I don't know that it was worth it.
Yeah, American Primeval, as Michael mentions, on Netflix, and it centers around right on 1857, 1858. Brigham Young, you know, we all know that name. He plays an important part in that. The Mormon, U.S. Army, Native Americans, interactions, the wars, the violence, all that stuff, that is there. And I think my favorite character is Bridger.
Bridger, by far. Yes. Yeah, he's great.
Yes, he Shea Whigham, I think is his name.
Yes.
His daughter was in the second season of The Punisher. She played the girl that Frank Castle was protecting. That's his daughter in that one. So you can check out Punisher, speaking of that. He makes an appearance in the trailer for the latest Daredevil season.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it earlier in passing that the question for people was, I'm sure they told everyone, but people still wanted to know, were the vibes going to be like Netflix Daredevil, or were you going to Disney Plus it up? And at least from the trailer, maybe even more violent than the Netflix. We'll see. But the trailer suggests that they're leaning into their history on Netflix more than leaning into the Disney Plus aspect of cleaning it up for the kids.
Yeah, that whole question now, if it wasn't clear before, it's definitely clear now. The initial deal with Daredevil was it was going to be 18 episodes. It was going to be more procedural, law-based, mm-hmm. and have less ties to the Netflix era. But then delays happened. I think this was around the strike. They went back to the writer's room at some point. They let go a lot of the showrunners and staff to revamp it and make it more focused and more like the original three seasons that we saw on Netflix. So it is going to be violent, as we saw in the trailer. It is going to be more violent. It is going to be more bloody. But it also is going to pull from their history, as you see with Wilson Bethel's Bullseye mm-hmm. in the trailer. So we'll see the continuation of that story, as well as see the continuation of what was set up in Echo with Wilson Fisk becoming mayor of the city, and the different ties and different comic pulls that the show is pulling from, specifically Chip Zdarsky's run of Daredevil.
Sometimes you want to be the person in the room and go, excuse me, so Daredevil liked on Netflix, Violet, Frank Castle, the Punisher, all those things. You want to turn this into a law show? Why? Why would you do that? No one's looking for that. We want, and I was trying to figure out what his alternate nickname was. I said like the Demon of Fleet Street, the Devil of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, there you go.
Is Daredevil's other nickname. Why would you take us away from that and turn it into a Law and Order?
They wanted to do something different at one point, and then they quickly realized maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we should just give people what they wanted in the main way, because Daredevil, what that show was one of the key, I think, superhero shows of the mid-2000s, right?
Agreed.
Mid to late, I guess, 2000s, where it really showcased that you don't necessarily have, I mean, obviously Daredevil has these certain kind of powers, but it's not this over-the-top, like laser eyes and things like that, superhuman strength or anything. It is more like gritty. You see Daredevil, like, in a fight, he's like breathing really hard, and he, you know, the physicality of his punches are changing because he is a dude at the end of the day. He's not Captain America. He's not Winter Soldier, anybody like that. So I think that grittiness of it, the way that show was shot and the drama that they added, could the shows have been maybe 10 episodes instead of 13? Maybe, but I think we're drawing more into what we all loved about Daredevil with that. If that wasn't clear from the trailer, and they're pulling from, like, there's a character in there called Muse, who is a serial killer in the comics that Daredevil has to deal with. I don't know if they'll go full power route with him, but there's an opportunity for storytelling there. Obviously, the Wilson Fisk mayor angle of it all, Bullseye, and then there is the line in there where you haven't been the vigilante for a while. This, again, may be drawing on the comic inspirations where there was a point where Daredevil quit because of a screw-up that he did during his Daredevil time. So it's all very interesting. I can't wait for March 4th.
So they've already greenlit season 2. Charlie Cox, the titular Daredevil, has told everyone that they are going to start filming even before season 1 begins.
He wants to be, he was like, there's a Daredevil comic where he's in his 60s. I'm ready to do this for however long they're trying to make. He's like, I'm ready to be the Hugh Jackman of this Daredevil
Charlie
character.
Cox, get that money.
Get that money. Yeah.
Keep collecting them checks, and I'm going to look at his IMDb, and I'm pretty sure it'll tell us why he's all in.
I mean, by the time he's 60, like, that's when you do the Law and Order.
You know, yeah, that's when you do the procedural.
That's when you do the he's Sam Waters.
That's when you do like almost like a Batman Beyond kind of thing where he's like teaching a younger person to be like a Daredevil, mm-hmm. you know, upstart.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Spider-Man No Way Home came in 2021. He did She-Hulk 2022. He did Treason, which isn't bad, which is outside of the Marvel Universe. Did Kin, which is a Irish crime show. It's okay. And Echo, another Marvel thing. So he has been in on the Marvel thing for the last 5 years, and he wants more. Hey, the checks are good. I understand.
I was going to say, if the checks keep clearing, why not? I mean, especially with how studios are changing the way they do productions and things like that. If you got a steady paycheck, take it, you know?
Yeah, you already learned all this kung fu. Might as well use
it. I mean, you know, might as well just not waste it on something like Treason. Might as well.
His buddies at Netflix made that, and he was okay in that.
It's fine.
And he'll be in the your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man TV series. So Charlie Cox all in on the Netflix, on the Marvel cinematic and TV world. Okay, beyond the trailers, you have a list of what we should or shouldn't watch. What are you going to start with?
Well, obviously, NFL playoffs. I mean, come on.
Oh, look at you.
Of course, wow. NFL playoffs.
Texans Chiefs tomorrow.
I meant to say that last week because I was like, I know people are going to be watching NFL playoffs. So, yeah, NFL playoffs, of course. But if you want to go to the theaters and check out something, there's a few wide releases. Of course, Wolfman, we've talked about that in the
Will
in
there
the
be
offices.
Enough Wolfman in terms of him actually being
a wolf man.
And actually looking like a wolf man, as opposed to this human wolf hybrid.
It's more akin, from what I've heard, it's more akin to something like The Fly, where it's a lot about his change into becoming that character, the wolf man.
The
obviously,
transition, as opposed to him.
It's a lot focused on the transition. And from my understanding, it's like good for the first two acts and then falls apart in the third act. So, you know, maybe wait on it. Maybe think about it, because it's kind of mixed bag now with reviews for Wolfman.
Seems like one. I'll wait till it's on a streamer.
I understand that.
Yeah, Julia Garner, who you might know from
Ozark,
mm-hmm. And Silver Surfer coming up in Fantastic Four.
Yes, so I don't mind her collecting that check too. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But yeah,
until she starts going, I can do this till I'm 60.
Well, if she's going to be this silver metallic thing, I guess you can be. It doesn't matter what you look like. You are the Silver Surfer. It's pretty much a standard look for the Silver Surfer, no matter what. Like, I don't think her trademark curly hair, Ruth Langmore, I don't think that's going to pop out in the Silver Surfer. It's just going to be this bald silver thing, right?
Just imagine now a 60-year-old Silver Surfer. Hey.
Feeling its age.
Galactus. Yeah. I got a planet for you.
I don't know.
I don't know why there's a little bit of an accent. But
Silver Surfer apparently smokes.
Yeah.
As well. Okay, so Wolfman makes reviews. You want to go out and see like a horror thing. Is this – it's from Universal Pictures, and they tried to do their Dark Universe years ago, and it did not work out. Can they – is this – if this goes well, which probably won't.
Right.
will we see other Dark Universe things that they did not get to? Because if we remember, The Mummy was the one with Tom Cruise, had Russell Crowe. And Russell Crowe, was he Jekyll and Hyde and played that character?
Something like that,
So the thought was, well, we got Tom Cruise and The Mummy. We pop Russell Crowe in, and at some point we'll do the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, no. A connected universe, no. Yeah. But a series of just rebooted.
Well, is Invisible Woman a universe thing? Universal thing?
Not necessarily. It is a universal, but so, it's not necessarily part of a larger
universe.
To your
point, not a connected universe, but they have all these characters that they can go to.
Right.
And Invisible Woman was a, I don't know how strong of a hit it was, but it was well reviewed.
Invisible Man, yeah.
Yeah, it was Invisible Man, you're right.
Yeah.
It had, the star of the movie was actress from
Mad Men.
Peggy from Mad Men, but also Elizabeth Moss. That's her name. She's also from Handmaid's Tale. She turned into the star of that movie because of what she had to do.
Which the director for Wolfman is the same director. So
they had Invisible Man. I imagine if this one works, they'll go to, I don't know, whatever's next.
I think they actually already have stuff in the works with like Creature from the Black Lagoon, and you're getting two Frankenstein-esque movies this year with The Bride and something else. I think it's just called Frankenstein, actually. But you're still going to pull from the well of that, even with this.
Guillermo
maybe
del
not.
Toro has Frankenstein.
Yeah. So even though this one is not going to necessarily hit well, probably just based off of what we're seeing, they're still going to adapt future stuff with like Black Lagoon and all the other type creatures.
Yeah. I can't wait for the Wolfman Frankenstein team up.
At some point.
Yeah.
Some other movies, probably the better of the bunch is One of Them Days with SZA and Kiki Palmer.
I saw 100, that's the promo, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Is that still where they're at?
96% by critics and 94% by audiences. It's getting well regarded. both just from this, just from the, it's a simple comedy, like a straightforward, doesn't need to be over complicating things. It's just a straightforward, we got to get this rent money by 6 p.m. or we're evicted.
Okay.
And then just hilarity, physical comedy. That's actually one of the points that was brought up in a lot of reviews, is the physical comedy is like top notch. And SZA does a really good job for, I don't know if this is her first acting role or not, but she does a really good job. And of course, Kiki Palmer is always strong. So One of Them Days, definitely highly recommend it. Also, September 5th is out in theaters this weekend. It is about the 1972 Summer Olympics. And when the hostage crisis, the Israeli athletes were held hostage, and it's focused on the American sports broadcasting team. That's at a 92% and 82% on Rotten Tomatoes. Both audiences and critics are liking it. There's, of course, a re-release of Sing Sing, which is a good movie. I'm Still Here, which is a limited release movie, is out. Those are both highly rated if you want to check those out. And then it's the Goonies 40th anniversary re-release this weekend, Sunday. So
I feel like I'm plucky kids out with Skeleton Crew.
Yes.
I saw the season finale. Good. The fact that Jude Law just was a bad guy throughout, I like.
Yeah,
I didn't need him to be redeemed by the kids he was around.
No.
I appreciate him just being
he
just wanted money. He didn't care how he did it. I appreciate it.
And it's another show where you can enjoy the story for what it is without having to have watched all the other movies. This doesn't have any ties to anything else. It's just it's a fun story. Yeah. I liked it a lot more than I did Creature Commandos at the end of the day.
I've seen the first three episodes of Creature Commandos, so I can't speak to the end. Mm-hmm. But as you said, I was enjoying Skeleton Crew more. So you mentioned things you can go out to see. What's on tap for things you might want to stay in for?
Streaming, the big one, Severance Season 2 premieres, I think, today. Of course, that's highly regarded. Jong's been excited for that one. The 94% currently on Rotten Tomatoes for Season 2. Strong show. So definitely, if you want to go watch one of the better shows out there, there's that. Low-key, Harley Quinn, one of the other better shows out there. Season 5 premieres on Max. So if you want to check that out. Of course, Severance, I should say, Apple TV+. Unstoppable, the film about the wrestler Anthony Robles, is out on Prime Video. Pretty solid reviews. Audiences more so like it than critics, but still both sides like the film.
You like yourself from Jennifer Lopez, who plays the mom in that movie.
Fun fact, I booked Anthony Robles years ago for an interview. He did not...
Not that fun.
He didn't show up. He didn't call. He didn't do nothing.
Not that fun,
Mike. It wasn't that fun.
And they've made a movie out of that?
Yeah, that's part of the story.
All the man does is agree to interviews and then doesn't show up for them.
Yeah.
Would it get the two-hour mark, or are we only doing 90 minutes of him ditching media members?
Yeah. I think my scene got cut.
I was going to say, I just want to see who plays young Michael Carroll. That's all I'm interested in.
What's his actual name? Oh, Anthony. I'm thinking the actor ditched you. You actually mean Anthony Robles.
No, I mean actually
the
Anthony
actual
Robles.
Accomplished wrestler.
Yeah, when the story was all happening, I booked him for an interview on ESPN 97.5. And I was rushing to the studio because it was one of those things where it was like during the day at like noon, and I'm still in college at the time. Yeah. And I get my host in, everything. We're all set up. We waited for an hour and no call.
Man.
No nothing.
American hero, my ass.
I just want to.
I'm sure
share
he had.
That.
I'm sure he had a reasonable reason for missing it. He didn't tell Michael about it, but he did have.
I wouldn't be shocked if it's the handler that I was dealing with.
Probably
screwed things up on
and
that
decided
one.
Something else was more important.
Because he suddenly stopped texting me as well, so I was like, okay, I see how this.
You're
is.
Blaming the woman who's playing his mom in the movie. He said he's blaming Jennifer Lopez.
I'm blaming Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, blame Jennifer Lopez. I get it. I understand.
It's the easier approach. Ben Affleck's doing it.
Something that you maybe I don't really have a transition for this, but
it's fine.
Something that you maybe shouldn't watch this weekend. Back in Action, the new film from Cameron Diaz and Jamie Foxx.
No chance of watching.
24% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Cameron Diaz makes her return to acting, and she picked a Netflix vehicle.
Yeah,
co-starring with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah,
she's asking for it to be bad. Why would you do that?
And it's another like action spy thing.
Hold on. Yeah. I know why she did it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I know why she did it. I don't know, but I don't think she's hurting for money. She could have picked a different thing. hey, Cameron Diaz is back in this great indie movie.
Nope. Yeah, she should have been in The Substance or something.
Yeah. Like, why is she? It would have been perfect.
No, she went with Back in Action.
Back in Action. Okay. Yeah. What, she couldn't get it on Red One?
Yeah. Missed out on that. Lucy Liu
beat her out for that role?
Okay. Lucy Liu.
The Rock's too big of a star. She won a co-headline with Jamie Foxx, not come in under The Rock as far as on the call sheet.
One last thing before we wrap up. The Pit. I watched... I didn't mention it last weekend or last week, but The Pit's episode 3 came out last night. It releases every Thursday on Max. I'm not one for medical dramas, but it's actually really good. I've really enjoyed it so far.
I didn't see the last episode. It's set up where it's one day.
Mm-hmm. And very 24-esque in that way.
Noah Wiley, recognizable face. In fact, it's from the people who, or at least some of the people who created ER. Mm-hmm. So some people are like, hey, it's pretty much a sequel to ER. The young doctor is now the older grizzled veteran. They had to change some things they wanted to do with it because the actual guy behind, I think Michael Crichton, behind ER, his people are like, this is, hey, you're stealing from me. Yeah. What are we doing? You're using the actor that's in it. It's pretty much the same setup. So they had to change a couple of things to keep from getting sued,
and
I guess.
He's like an executive producer on it. Yeah, like Noah Wiley. He's a big part of it.
But yeah, it's the day in the life of all these doctors, some med students, some people who've been around for a while. I don't know how much we're going to actually learn about them. I don't think there'll be a lot of exposition because it's a day.
No.
But we'll see a lot of the cases they have to deal with.
But they're doing a good job of like layering in little story tidbits with different characters as you go along. And I guess that's what kind of took me by surprise in how much I have gotten invested into the different stories and how some of them kind of cross over to other things, like a different case crossed over with another case on last night's episode.
Okay,
so I like it so far in what is typically a genre that I'm not all about.
Yeah, you can find it on HBO Max in there. Mm-hmm. And it's not as Michael laid out, it's not a dump of episodes. You can see them all. They released the first two, and I think week by week. I think it's 15 episodes total.
15 right? episodes every Thursday at 8 p.m. our time.
So you can check that out. The Pit on Max. It's pretty good, at least so far for me.
Yeah, so far.
If you're good with blood,
oh, man,
you'll get it.
It's bloody.
That mangled leg in the first two episodes, that was tough.
That was tough. That was, yeah.
Great sound design. You could hear the peeling as they were
they do not mince on the sound effects or nothing.
Be ready for it.
There's a thing in episode 3 with a nail in a guy's chest. That's
Yeah, so if you like the ER, but you're like, hey, they need to turn it up a little bit.
We got you.
This is what The Pit is for.
Wait, and all this happens in a day?
Yeah, it's like just one. There's
the whole
one
season is a day, and there's like nails being pulled out of people's
chest. I don't know if they could call. Is it a trauma ward?
It's a trauma ward. It's one of the busiest in the area. It's like the busiest in the area, so they always have people.
I don't know if it was one or two, which episode it was, but you had a gang. I don't know if it was a gang member, but a guy got shot, and his people just dropped them off.
Yeah.
And like we see in movies, but this was one of the one case of a day. Someone got shot. They had and they sped off, and they had to grab them, put them on the stretcher to get them into a room.
But you're also having like people like this random guy's like, I had abdominal pain, but there's a whole thing with his character that kind of plays out. It's interesting how it ties.
There's
everything.
A young med student, and she kind of gives attitudes to a guy who's saying he's got an issue, and we've been waiting here a long time. And I've seen that guy in a lot of other stuff. So you know whatever his problem is going to be bigger than they think, at least in my eyes, and he's going to come back. Because I just seen that guy in so many things. They didn't get him for like a flyby when it comes to a scene. So the threads are there because you can, as long as you watch a lot of stuff, you can kind of tell these things are coming. But it's been interesting and fun so far. So we'll see how that plays out throughout the course of 15 episodes. All right. We are done for the week, really. Not just a day, the week. Well, I am. Michael, Carroll, and Sean still got work to do.
Dang.
Product of getting here at 6:30 just happens.
Makes sense.
Actually, I'm not even done. I got to film something with Sam, which is always fun. It's not because of her. It's just because
the way you said that.
It's just because. Well,
Sam.
Well, to be fair, it is because of her. She's bossy. She is bossy, but it's something that needs to be done. But she's bossy. Sam, who does a great job running our social media stuff.
Shots fired.
I mean, I can't lie. She's bossy, but it's fine. And she heard that. Actually, no. it's a different. She just told me, don't forget to come by the office.
Oh, see, she doesn't know.
Bossy.
See?
Already bossy.
See, I'm not even there yet. She's already reminding me. Team mom is what she is. I hope they're orange slices. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. We'll talk Texans and more on Monday.